What do Homer Simpson, Doug Heffernan, and Ray Barone have in common? Well, for starters, they're all fictional TV characters, TV sitcom characters. And they are also all three husbands. But more than that, what they have in common is they each play the role of the dumb husband on TV. The characters from The Simpsons, King of Queens, and Everybody Loves Raymond are all depicted as bumbling, incompetent, and unable to handle basic domestic responsibilities. They are well-meaning, but they are clueless. They are lovable, but useless. They are dependent on their wives to manage the household and family. Sure, they go to work and they bring home an income, but they really just amount to a lazy man-child whose goal in life is avoiding responsibility at all costs. They're helpless. The entertainment world reuses that stereotype of the dumb husband in sitcoms and cartoons and commercials. And while this may be a cultural trope, how often is this true to real life? Does this image from the media reflect reality or distort reality? Funny as they might be to watch on TV, no real man would want to be like them, and no actual woman would want to be married to them. God's call to married men is a far cry from this depiction. God calls husbands to flee from this sort of lazy, self-centered, pleasure-seeking man-child. God's word shows husbands that they have a role and they have a responsibility to take up. Husbands, you need to step up, you need to follow Christ, you need to embrace a life of sacrifice, and you need to shepherd your wife. As you know, the Men's Iron Sharpens Iron Conference is coming this week, Friday and Saturday. I trust you're planning on coming. I'm going to be one of the workshop speakers and giving a message for the workshop. And this morning, I wanted to bring my workshop message to you. My message is titled, as you see on the screen there, Husband, Shepherd Your Wife. The theme at ISI is shepherding. And shepherding is a favorite biblical metaphor. God uses it as a description for his leaders who give good and godly care to his people. Throughout Scripture, we see that God was concerned that his people, who are described as sheep, have leaders and not be sheep without a shepherd. David was the shepherd boy who was chosen as a shepherd of God's people. Jesus, of course, is the good shepherd. He's a leader who cares for and causes the sheep to go in the right path. So shepherd is a good biblical description of a guide and a guard for God's people. The conference has a couple of different topics related to shepherding: shepherding your soul, shepherding your children, shepherding your brothers, shepherding your gifts, and of course the man and shepherding his wife. Shepherding one's wife is a heavy responsibility. And all the husbands said amen to that. It is heavy. Ladies, I want you to understand that I believe it is a rare man who thinks he is doing this well, if at all. In fact, it took me 2 months before I told my wife that that's the topic that I'm going to be speaking on at the ISI conference. I was afraid she might encourage me to let another man speak on that. I have a lot to learn and a lot that I have learned that I want to share with you this morning. But I want to share this with everybody. I think it's obvious why I want to share this with husbands. Husbands, this is your job. This is your role. This is your task. This is your responsibility. This is it. As a husband, this is the one. But what about the rest of you? Wives, this message is for you. This message is to help you. You should know what God says your husband is to be doing for you. This is a biblical expectation, and it requires your helpful encouragement of your husband, and it's a matter of your patient prayer. Your husband needs your help in doing this, God's help and your help. But what about those who are not married yet? Young ladies. Young ladies, this is for you. This is for you because I want you to have the right expectation of marriage. I want you to have the right expectation of who it is that you're looking for. What is that man supposed to be that you're looking for? Your future husband should be looking like this. And then, of course, young men who are yet to be married, who are pursuing that, who are thinking about that. I want you to know what God expects of you. So therefore, I want to place before you a vision of what God has for your life should he call you to the blessing of marriage. I want you to have something to aim at. I want to create the picture in your mind, the narrative in your mind of this is what it is. There are other things about marriage, but the world is giving you a lot of lies, a lot of foolishness about what marriage is, what your role is. And so, young men, I want you to know what to aim at. I want you to know what to go for. You need to shepherd your wife. So let's open our Bibles then to Ephesians chapter 5. Ephesians chapter 5, it's a well-known passage to you. Paul dedicates a lot of space here to help show the significance and importance of a husband's responsibility to their wife. The Apostle Paul is going to use the analogy of Christ and the church in order to instruct husbands how they are to love their wives, and that husbands are to love their wives as Christ sacrificially loves the church. So please follow along as I read Ephesians chapter 5, starting in verse 25 through verse 33. Husbands, love your wives, just as Christ also loved the church and gave himself up for her, so that he might sanctify her, having cleansed her by the washing of water with the word, that he might present to himself the church in all her glory, having no spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that she would be holy and blameless. So husbands ought also to love their own wives as their own bodies. He who loves his own wife loves himself. For no one ever hated his own flesh, but nourishes and cherishes it, just as Christ also does the church, because we are members of his body. For this reason, a man shall leave his father and mother and shall be joined to his wife, and the two shall become one flesh. The mystery is great, but I am speaking with reference to Christ and the church. Nevertheless, each individual among you also is to love his own wife even as himself, and the wife must see to it that she respects her husband. May the Lord add his blessing to the reading of his word. We see here in this text, there is an overwhelming call of the husband to love his wife, to care for his wife. There's a couple of observations that I want us to make to lay the foundation for what we're going to be speaking about when it comes to shepherding. The first observation is this: the marriage relationship is a picture of Christ's relationship to his church. Each marriage is meant to enact the drama, if you will, of Christ and his church. The children in the home should see the drama of Christ and his church. The world is meant to see the drama through your marriage of Christ and the church. So it's a picture. And then secondly, we have to make the observation that each partner in this marriage has a role to play. Husbands take their cue from Christ, and they play the role of head, of leader. Wives take their cue from what God wants from the church, and their role is one of submission. Another foundation is this, that the responsibility for leadership in the home comes from the husband, and this is his by position, by virtue of his gender and the plan of God. Roles are not determined in marriage by who knows more or who's more mature, because I'm sure that all of us husbands would say, man, my wife is so godly. She's incredible. But we're not to be pragmatic here and say, well, she knows more. She does this better, so we'll just give it over to her. That's not God's intention. God's intention is the man is to lead. He is the head. And this headship is not about rights. It's about responsibility. The man is not simply the sovereign. He is the servant, as we see from the example of Christ. And this relationship or this leadership is not about self-serving, but about self-sacrifice. The husband bears the responsibility to lead. A fourth observation we need to make is that the responsibility of leadership is that of a loving shepherd to care for his wife. And we see here in this text two actions. In verse 29, it says, "No one ever hated his own flesh, but nourishes and cherishes it, just as Christ also does the church." A husband has authority. He is the head of the home. That is your call, husband. And you can look at that in a number of ways. You can abdicate that authority and say, "Wife, you're way better at a lot of things. You know more theology than me," or whatever it is. And you can hand it over to your wife and refuse to take the role that you've been given. Or, husband, what you can do is not just abdicate that authority, you can abuse that authority and be tyrannical in the home and manipulate things for your own benefit and your own desires and say, "Look, I'm the head and this is the way it is." But what you should do is accept that authority and honor your wife and serve your wife in ways that bring about her flourishing. Christ is the head of the church to help the church flourish. Husbands, you are the head of your wife to help your wife flourish. Christ is who we get our cue from. And we need the world. The world will see what Christ and his relationship to the church looks like through your marriage. You, dear husband, are speaking about Christ in how you act towards your wife. Are you speaking the truth? Are you telling the truth about how Christ acts towards his church? Speak the truth, men, for the glory of God in the home and in the world. Now, I want to say this at the outset, too. None of this implies that the man is somehow better than the wife. He isn't of any greater value to society, the home, or the church, or God. This is about roles and responsibilities before God. This isn't about who's better or something like that. God created man and said it's not good for the man to be alone. The man needed woman. And the woman was created to serve man in his role, in his task. So both are important. In this text, Paul's given the illustration of Christ's love for the church and say, love your wife as Christ loves the church. But he gives a second illustration where I want to focus. And he says in 28, he says, "So husbands ought also to love their own wives as their own bodies." So just as Christ loves the church, you, man, love your wife like you do your body. Now, Paul knows that how you treat your body isn't simply giving barely enough food, not really a whole lot of comfort or shelter, just eking out a mere existence. No, that's not the way you treat your body. You treat your body bountifully. You treat your body with constant care. You nourish yourself. Some of you nourish yourselves quite well, we could say. But you protect your body. You keep it from harm. You seek to heal it when it is hurt, and you pursue its comfort and nourishment. So this morning, what I want to do, brothers, is I want to challenge you to step up to your responsibility. And I want to focus on one verse with these two actions of love, nourish and cherish. Both of these words, nourish and cherish, are charged with affection. They both express tenderness and concern for another. So we're going to see in this text two essential actions of a loving shepherd husband. They are this: nourish your wife with helpful provision, and secondly, cherish your wife through tender protection. First, husbands, nourish your wife through helpful provision. The text simply says, nourish. Nourish, just like you do your body. The word nourish means to feed or to rear or to bring up. It can mean to feed physically or feed spiritually. Paul used the same word in this very letter about describing how a parent nurtures a child and gives them all they need to bring them up into maturity. It's found in Ephesians 6:4. Paul tells the fathers, bring up their children in the discipline and instruction of the Lord. The word bring up is the same Greek word here translated as nourishes. So the idea then of nourish is to provide things that help one to grow, provide things, give things that bring health to the body. Our context, of course, is not that of a parent, but of a husband who feeds his wife. A husband who feeds his wife on good spiritual nourishment and brings her up in maturity and godliness. A husband must nourish his wife. Certainly there's a concern for her physical well-being, but husband, you are to be concerned about your wife's spiritual well-being. Provide for her needs. Give her what will nourish her in faith. Grow her and mature her in Christ. Nourish your wife through helpful provision. The most, I would say, well-known and well-loved description of a shepherd in Scripture is from Psalm 23. David writes that the Lord is his shepherd. And he says of the Lord, he says, "The Lord makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside quiet waters. He restores my soul. He guides me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake." There's a lot of provision in that text, isn't there, that David describes. The provisions are given to help the sheep. There's the green pastures, the quiet waters, that these bring nourishment to bring restoration, as David says, to the soul. So the husband, you husband, are to shepherd your wife, care for your wife, nourish your wife, and part of that nourishment is feeding. Feeding. The prophet Jeremiah spoke of a time when God says to the nation, "I will give you shepherds after my own heart who will feed you on knowledge and understanding." Nourish your wife, men. Feed her with knowledge and understanding of our Lord Jesus Christ. Teach her the truth and talk to her about that truth. Take time to look at the scriptures together. Whether you're reviewing the previous sermon or whether you're listening to a podcast or whether you're going through a devotional book or something like that, get the word to your wife. Read the book of the Bible together with her. Read the book of Proverbs. Go to Proverbs and learn how to live skillfully in the fear of the Lord on this earth. Learn how the skill, the fear of the Lord applies to hundreds of topics in the Proverbs there. Go through the Psalms with your wife. Go through the heights of praise that the psalmist gives and extols his God, but then also take your wife through the depths of the lament that the psalmist always gives because he's hurting, he's suffering, or he's running from trouble or danger. Go through Paul's letters with your wife and learn solid doctrine. Build her up in biblical knowledge. And men, learn to communicate that knowledge. Learn to communicate doctrinal truth. Douglas Wilson said, "A man may not be a vocational theologian, but in his home, he must be a resident theologian." Learn the scriptures. Know theology. Talk with her about the Bible. Bring out the Bible during meals. Any meal. In fact, every meal. Every meal you have with her. Why not? Bring the Bible before you go to bed. Bring the Bible before you go off to work. Get the word of God in her because you want to nourish her and help her. And men, feed her not simply to inform her, but to transform her. Paul told Timothy that he is to call out false teaching and teach right doctrine. And he says in 1 Timothy 4:6 that in pointing out these things to the brethren, you will be a good servant of Christ Jesus, constantly nourished on the words of the faith and of the sound doctrine which you have been following. Men, is your wife constantly being nourished on the words of the faith and right doctrine? And is it coming from your influence? That's your call, shepherd your wife. So nourish her with the scriptures, but I would also say nourish her, provide helpful provision for her through prayer. Pray with her. Pray with her. When our wives are going through trials or have questions about parenting and wondering how, if they're doing it all wrong or whatever, sometimes our wives can feel alone. You're off at work, you're not there. They can feel alone. Well, one good way to help your wife feel that she isn't alone is that before you leave in the morning, pray with her. Let her know, "I'm with you. Pastor Andy used to say he would not leave the house in the morning until he prayed with his wife Barbie. He wouldn't do it. How many of us can say that? That we're so concerned for our wife's well-being and her help and calling God's blessing upon her that we won't set foot on the front porch until we spend time with her in prayer before the Lord. Praying with your wife shows that you want to nourish her and point her in the right direction and say, this is our declaration of dependence upon God for this day. So nourish her with the scriptures, nourish her with prayer, and I would say this, nourish her with fellowship. Nourish her with fellowship. Engage the local church and its ministries. Provide opportunities for her to fellowship with brothers and sisters in Christ. Enable her to use her gifting with the local church. Men, you should nourish your wife so that she's filled with the knowledge of God's will and all spiritual wisdom and understanding, and so that she will walk in a manner worthy of the Lord, pleasing him in all respects, bearing fruit in every good work, and increasing in the knowledge of God. That's Paul's prayer for the Colossians in Colossians 1. Nourish her on these things, and they will provide a well-balanced diet for her and keep her from being malnourished. Give her what she needs. Does she need encouragement? Give her encouragement from the scriptures. Does she need comfort? Give her comfort from the scriptures. Does she need strength? Give her strength. Give her strength. Point her to the Lord. Don't let her suffer malnourishment. Help her and set her up for that day, set her up in her life, set her up to suffer well, even, brothers. The trials come. Is your wife ready? Keep in mind, though, as you nourish her, you need to nourish yourself on the truth. The principle is that of like an oxygen mask on an airplane. Every time you fly in an airplane, they give you instructions how to buckle a seatbelt, which you've never done before. They teach you how to do that. But then they tell you that if we lose pressure in this cabin, there's going to be a mask that drops down, and it's going to dangle in front of you. And what do they tell you to do first? Put it on yourself. Put it on yourself. Because if you run out of oxygen yourself, you're not going to be any good to help someone else. So, men, you have to shepherd yourself first before you can effectively shepherd someone else. Are you feeding yourself? Are you shepherding yourself? Are you nourishing yourself? Paul says, no one ever hated his own flesh, but nourishes and cherishes it just as Christ also does the church. What's the goal in this nourishment? What's the goal here? Nourishment has a goal. Verse 25 of chapter 5 says, husbands, love your wives just as Christ also loved the church and gave himself up for her, verse 26, so that he might sanctify her, having cleansed her by the washing of water with the word, that he might present to himself the church in all her glory, having no spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that she would be holy and blameless. What's the goal in nourishing your wife? It's ministering to her so that she would be holy and blameless. No spot or wrinkle on her wedding gown. You're doing this to cultivate Christ-likeness in her. Sanctify your wife. Share the word with her. Speak the word to her. Help her. Remind her who she is in Christ. And be a blessing to her. So that's the first call. The first call of a loving shepherd husband. Nourish your wife through helpful provision. But we would say, secondly, cherish. Cherish your wife through tender protection. Again, Paul says, no one ever hated his own flesh, but nourishes and cherishes it. The word cherish has the idea of heat. And it means literally to keep warm. To keep warm. It was used in the Old Testament in context where it was literally about keeping an old, frail man warm. It was also used figuratively in the law, speaking of the wife you cherish. Here the idea is also figurative. Cherish then takes on the idea of taking tender care of. It has the implication of cherishing and being concerned for another. Thus, there's a protective element in there. Paul uses the same word one other time in 1 Thessalonians 2:7, and he's referring to his pastoral care for the Thessalonian church, and he compares his ministry to that of a nursing mother. Interesting. He says, "But we prove to be gentle among you as a nursing mother tenderly cares for her own children." A nursing mother has a special and affectionate bond for her child. She nurses and she protects and she helps. But again, our context is not about a nursing mother, but what a man does for his own body and therefore what a husband is to do for his wife. Paul is saying that a man cherishes his own body. He's willing to do whatever it takes to keep it warm. He cherishes it. Likewise, a man is to cherish, tenderly care for his wife, protecting her, guarding her. Cherishing, we have to say, is something that he feels and therefore something that he does or actions that he does. Men, do you cherish your bride? You cherish her. There should be a tenderness in your care for her. Ezekiel called out false prophets in his day who were leading the people, and he said, "With force and with severity, you have dominated them." Those are the wrong kind of shepherds. No tenderness there. In Isaiah 40, verse 11, the Messiah was prophesied that he would come, and like a shepherd, he will tend his flock. In his arm, he will gather the lambs and carry them in his bosom. He will gently lead the nursing ewes. Husband, your role is to cherish your wife with a tender love, protecting her, caring for her. If you do that, you'll keep her warm. You'll keep her warm. A shepherd husband who protects his wife is like the good shepherd, Jesus. Jesus said in John 10, 11 through 13, "I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. He who is a hired hand and not a shepherd, who is not the owner of the sheep, sees the wolf coming and he leaves the sheep and flees. And the wolf snatches them and scatters them. He flees because he's a hired hand and is not concerned about the sheep." Husbands, your wife is to get your care. You are not to act like a hired hand who flees when he sees the danger coming. You are to have the spiritual fortitude to care for your wife and guard her and protect her. Men, you're to be a watchman. And a watchman is not passive, is he? A watchman is to observe and look and to see and to watch for danger. But that means he's ready to intervene at any moment. Don't take a passive approach to caring for your wife. Be proactive. We have to say, guard her, protect her from physical harm. Your wife needs a safe place to live. She needs a reliable car. Your wife's going to have medical issues that concern her. Are you tender with her? Do you cherish her? And so help her through those issues, sympathizing with her. Well, I want to spend more time in talking about protecting from spiritual harm, having that spiritual fortitude to protect her. Look out for the spiritual dangers that can come to your wife, husband. Think of the false teaching that can cause spiritual harm. False teaching when it comes to not thinking rightly about issues, whether it's worldly expectations for the 21st century woman or a misunderstanding of grace, a misunderstanding of works in the Christian life, a misunderstanding of the gospel. If you're guiding her and nourishing her, that will protect her. Guard her from false teaching. Guard her also from difficult situations that or unnecessary burdens. Some situations can be avoided. Speak up for her. Help her. Guard her. Stuart Scott, in his book, The Exemplary Husband, said, See that your wife is protected from sinful and evil relationships. Come to her aid when she needs help in dealing with people who try to take advantage of her, are unreasonable, or act inappropriately toward her. Don't be the hired hand that flees. Get in there. Stick around. Help out. Feed her and help sustain her during these difficult times. Also, protect her from spiritual harm. Protect her from known temptations. The temptations that can harm her. Do you know your wife's tendencies? Does your wife battle with fear? Does your wife battle with worry? Does she battle with anxiety or appearance issues or bitterness or anger or envy? Those things should not cause you to run from her and be repelled by her or repulsed by her. Those sins that your wife struggles with should melt your heart and cause you to step in and say, I'm going to help you. I'm going to minister to you. I know your temptations. I know your struggles, and I'm here for you. Protect her from spiritual harm in that way. Also, protect her from spiritual harm, the harm that comes from excessive worldly input, we'll say. There are sinful influences that will taint her. Are you mindful of the media influences that she is choosing? Are you mindful of what she's watching on TV or the movies she's watching or the social media influencers that are influencing her? Are you looking out for her? Are you watching her habits that might be unhelpful to her? The typical one is looking at social media right before bed or looking at social media as first thing when you wake up in the morning. Help her. Protect her. Keep her warm, brothers. Keep her warm. You need to be a watchman that stays awake and knows his wife. Jesus said in John 10:14, I am the good shepherd and I know my own. Do you know what's going on with her? Do you know what's going on in her heart? Proverbs 27 says, know well the condition of your flock. Your finger should be on her spiritual pulse, and you should be alert, and you should pray for her. When I was in seminary, somebody was passing around a document that was titled, Praying Daily for Our Wives. And every day of the week, it had two prayer requests of what to pray for your wife on Sunday, Monday, Tuesday, and so on. I brought copies of that for you if you'd like that. I have them in Spanish as well. But I mentioned to you, you should pray with your wife, but you should also be praying for your wife to guard her and protect her and help her. Cherish her, man. Cherish her as a reflection of the love that Christ has for his church. Hold her in highest esteem because you treasure her. Love her and tell her so. Somebody wrote a poem called Tell Her So. It says this, amid the cares of married strife, in spite of toil and business life, if you value your dear wife, tell her so. Don't act as if she's past her prime, as though to please her were a crime. If ever you loved her, now's the time. Tell her so. You are hers and hers alone. Well, you know she's all your own. Don't wait to carve it on a stone. Tell her so. Never let her heart grow cold. Richer beauties will unfold. She is worth her weight in gold. Tell her so. Men, does your wife feel cherished or does your wife feel neglected? If you are neglecting your wife, you are really destroying yourself. He who loves his wife, Paul says in verse 28, he who loves his own wife loves himself. Your wife is bone of your bones, flesh of your flesh. She is your body. You are her head. You are one flesh with her. Pastor Vody Bachum said he often reminds himself concerning his wife, she's not just mine, she's me. That's the connection you have with that woman that God gave you. Care for her. Protect her. Be tender as you tend her. And that'll keep her warm. What's the goal of this cherishing? What's the goal in all this? for nourishing and cherishing? What's the goal here? Is the goal that your wife would feel like the queen of your castle? Men, don't idolize your wife. Don't idolize her. Wives, don't make your husband worship you. Men, you should love Christ more than you love your wife. And wives, you want your husband to love Christ more than he loves you. Because if he loves Christ, he will love you. He will honor you. He will seek your good. What's the goal in all of this? Men, God has plans for your wife, and you are at the forefront of it. The goal of nourishing and cherishing of your wife is the same as Christ's for the church. Verse 26, so that he might sanctify her, having cleansed her by the washing of water with the word, that he might present to himself the church in all her glory, having no spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that she would be holy and blameless. Men, you want your wife to be able to stand before the Lord one day and say, I am so thankful that I was married to that man because he made me more holy. He nourished and he cherished me just as you do. Men, if you're like me, you're looking at these things and you're looking at this call and you're going, oh my. You're probably feeling like, man, I don't know if I can do this. Let me give you some things to remember. First of all, men, don't make excuses. Don't make excuses. Don't say, you know what, I'm too busy. No, you're not too busy. You're too busy shepherding your wife to do something else. That's where the busyness is. Don't make excuses. Don't say I'm too busy. Don't say I'm just not like that. Don't say that's just not my style. Don't say, but I'm scared of my wife. Say, honey. If you failed her, say, honey, I've failed you. And I need to make some adjustments to the priorities in my life and in our marriage. Please pray for me. I want to nourish you and cherish you. Secondly, I would say, don't be overwhelmed at the outset of this. You need to start. If you're not doing this, you need to start, and you need to start somewhere. But the last thing I want to do is give you a new program. I want to help you have that right heart so you can develop right habits. If your heart is there, the habits will come. With discipline, the habits will come. Thirdly, I would say this. Don't forget that Christ does this for you, men. What you are called to do for your wife is what Christ does for you. This is the gospel. Some of you men are hearing this, you're like, man, this is okay, I've heard of Jesus and I understand these things, but I don't even get this. I'm not even a Christian. Here's the gospel. Jesus Christ died for you, a wicked sinner, so that you wouldn't have to face God's judgment, but so that you can be forgiven and cleansed and brought into a right, peaceful relationship with him. So your conscience can't be terrified anymore because of the judgment that rests upon you, but there can be peace with God. So I urge you, take him by faith. He takes you in love. Take him by faith. And don't ever forget that Christ does this for you. And men, this isn't based on your performance. This is based on your position in Christ. You've trusted in Christ. This is what he does for you. You are under his constant care. There's a well-known story about the wife of one of the generals of King Cyrus of Persia. And the general's wife is accused of treachery, and she was condemned to die. As soon as her husband realizes what has taken place, he rushes to the palace and he bursts into the throne room. He throws himself onto the floor before the king and he cries out, "O king, take my life instead of hers. Let me die in her place." Cyrus, by all historical accounts, was a noble and extremely sensitive man. He's touched by this offer, and he replies, "Love like that must not be spoiled by death." So he gives the husband and wife back to each other, letting the wife go free. As the two walk away happily, the husband says to his wife, "Did you notice Did you notice how kindly the king looked upon us when he gave you the pardon? The wife replies, I had no eyes for the king. I saw only the man who was willing to die in my place. That is Jesus for us. And then that's to be us, men, for our wives. Paul says, husbands, love your wives just as Christ also loved the church and gave himself up for her. Be that man for your wife. Love her. Husband, shepherd your wife. Let me pray for us. Great Father in heaven, these things are wonderful. That you would give your son, and you, Son of God, would give up your life to sanctify and purify. And then you work to sustain the church. Well, Father, I pray for the husbands at this church, that they would be men who truly shepherd their wives. I pray for the wives of this church, that they would have husbands that take this up. That they would be patient with their husbands, that they would pray for their husband if he's not a believer. Please encourage those wives. I pray for the young women in our midst who long to be married and have been planning their wedding since the day they could even think about it. I pray that they would have right expectations and that you would provide a godly husband for the young women of this church. I pray for the young men of this church. Oh God, may they understand the call that is upon them. Certainly the joy of the companionship and the relationship in marriage, but also the responsibility that is upon them to give up their lives, to nourish and cherish a wife. Prepare them for that, I ask. And may the marriages at this church effectively convey to the world the love of Christ for his church. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.